You don't have a hat.
I don't have a hat. Where's my hat?
I don't know. Not on your head.
I didn't even think about that. Should I go get a hat?
Showing off all those locks.
There is a little bit. There's a couple of threads.
There's a few left.
A few up there. Should I go get a hat on?
Depends if you want to show off your head to everybody.
This is my head. No, fuck it. I'm going to stand by my head. Okay. I'm pissed off.
I haven't got the baldness thing yet.
Look at this. It's luscious.
Oh, no, I still got a bit of hair.
Is it quite recedy?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it just your forehead's getting bigger?
Probably just that. Getting the big head.
Yeah. I'm irritated, Mark. I'm irritated for two reasons. I don't want to get into the All Black performance, but also... I have a beer. Then I was like, no, I'm going to have a couple of beer after work. Then I was like, I have a beer. And I was like, no, I don't. I try not to drink during the week. And I was like, well, I have a couple of drinks in the podcast. I'm like, yeah, that beer will be nice. And you've got me a fucking lemonade.
We have a sponsor.
You got me a lemonade. It's a boozy lemonade. So the kids are still a drink, but.
We have a sponsor.
Well, at least, never thought I'd say this, but thank God for the Hawke's Bay. I just want to start with that.
Yeah. I was having a look for our sponsor's beer today.
Yes.
And there wasn't that many. They had that same Chinese beer as last time. I wanted fucking can or something.
Yeah.
But they didn't have it. And I figured the All Blacks gave us lemons. So we need to drink lemonade.
All right. Here we go. So when life gives you lemons.
Exactly. Drink boozy lemonade and it all goes away.
Which, when you're waiting for a beer all day and you get this, it's just. I feel like I'm having Sprite. What are they?
I apologize.
I've never been one.
I've never been one of these drinkers either.
No, no, me neither. And stuff like that.
I don't mind a cider.
Yeah. What's the percentage on this bad boy?
Oh, I didn't even look.
5%. So there you go. Bearish.
There you go. In that vicinity. It smells like lemonade.
It is lemonade. It's just lemonade, and somebody just put a couple of bits of booze in it. Okay. Oh, hi.
That's crisp.
Slanger.
There you go. I can drink that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a children's birthday party. Fantastic.
You get through it, Tony.
I will. The one day I was actually like, oh, I could do a beer.
Jonesing for a beer.
Yeah, and you give me fucking lemonade. Because I saw this thing and I was like, it must be like some sort of like hazy lemony sort of thing. Like, no, just straight up lemonade. Oh, well, it's not bad.
It's all right.
It's just not a beer. Mm.
It's from our friends at Sports Forecast again.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Thank you very much for Sports Forecast. I should have known they'd be the bastards there getting me lemonade. They're going to make me say
that. He didn't send through a script this time.
Yes, the Six Nations is a rugby championship. Is that what he wants me to say?
Is it the greatest rugby? Rugby's greatest championship?
I feel like it's probably got the most...
it's probably the most lucrative.
Crowds, the best crowds.
Most money.
If every game feels like a significant event, but the best quality of rugby, it ain't. It's a great, massively high standard quality of rugby, but when we see Wales
Watching the All Blacks play at the weekend, can we really start flying the best quality rugby flag?
I just mean historically. You know, like, we've got four of the best performing teams in the World Cup, in World Cup history.
Right.
A team that in Argentina that has been to
regular semi-finalist,
as opposed to the best team in Europe have never been to a semi-final of the Rugby World Cup. I know the other teams have, but you know, you've got games like, oh, we're going on this again, Wales versus Italy. Whoa, what an occasion! Scotland versus Italy.
So, what have the Italians done to you?
They're just not that great.
You should be picking on the Welsh at the moment.
Yeah, the Welsh are pretty shit. Wales versus anybody. I know, we're in a bad mood. Mark walked through, this is the most eager we have to be talking about
we
rugby.
Usually don't talk any rugby on arrival.
Yeah.
Because we want to save it. If there's any like...
Keep your powder dry.
Hot takes, let's save them for the pod. So we talk about everything else, but today...
I was irritating my partner, turning lights off and on. But you walked through the door, and the first thing he said was, fuck, the All Blacks were shit this week. And yes, we had to back it off from there.
I think that's fair.
It was bad. Let's not talk about it just yet. Should we talk about Sports Forecast?
Thank you to Sports Forecast for once again providing us with some drinks.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
in terms of predictions, was probably not a great one for the algo this week. Nobody was predicting, and last week, there's a few upsets. It's been hard to predict.
We should be able to get used to this. The Argentinians with Razor have a 50% win record over Razor.
Yeah. I saw a stat on Twitter where someone said, like, since, I forget what year, like Argentina's most wins, the team they've beaten the most is us.
Oh my God.
They've beaten us 4 times, which is more than they've beaten anybody. Obviously, they play us a lot because we play them every year, but they've beaten us more than the Aussies. What the fuck? They haven't played the Aussies yet this year.
They pumped the Aussies by 60 last year, didn't they?
They also lost to the Aussies last year.
Yeah, they're so inconsistent. I feel like if we played them next week, we would get their customary 50-point beating, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe we wouldn't, judging on our
points. You know what I said in the squad previews or rugby championship preview? I said, I think we'll beat them in the first week because they're at home and they're not being written off.
Ah, yeah.
But if we pump them, the second game,
wow,
I think that's where they're dangerous. I wasn't picking it. Like, I still picked the All Blacks to win, but...
Nostra Marcus.
I know. Mm, yeah. If they were going to get a game, I felt like that's the one.
It sucks when you're right when you don't want to be.
I didn't want to be right about that.
Mm. Oh, well, that is what it is. Anyway, Mark, before we really crack into rugby chat,
thank you to Sports Forecast for the beers.
Go to their website.
They do algorithmic predictions on rugby games.
Can you... Do you go there and you look at their stuff and you make a punt off their information? Is it basically there to give you good betting advice?
Part of it's just predictions generally, and then they've got this other service where it's like they can analyze what do the bookies say is going to happen,
mm-hmm,
and what do they think is going to happen.
And Based on the algo.
And is there like potentially like a mispricing there with the bookies?
Yeah, right.
So like this team's paying fucking heaps to win. They're being totally written off, but actually they're like a 25% chance, which in terms of value for money, that's a value bet.
Ultimate bet zone.
Basically. Whereas others, it's like, well, of course these guys are going to win. There's no value in putting money on them. So it's not necessarily like who's going to win, but it's like, where's the value?
Basically like the Red Roses playing the US the other night. Like,
yeah, there's no value in picking the Red Roses.
Yeah.
A lot of bookies weren't even taking money on the Red Roses to win.
Yeah. You almost could take very little money just placing a bet on them winning the whole tournament right now.
Yeah.
Mm. We'll get into that maybe a little bit later.
Yeah, I watched some women's rugby.
I would love to learn what happened because I watched very little.
The time zones have been rather
awful. You wake up in the morning and you kind of go on your phone.
Oh, there was three games played overnight.
Oh, fantastic.
11 p.m., 1 in the morning and 4 in the morning.
I've been wondering what happened to Spain this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hopefully we can kind of ramp up into it a little bit more. And is there like a breakfast morning package or something like that?
I don't think so.
What about the rugby?
This is a podcast. It's called Two Cents Gets Distracted. It's on all your podcasting platforms.
iHeartRadio.
If you don't want to look at him without a hat on.
Yeah, I don't have a hat on. There is an option for you. Yeah, this is a lot to take.
By the way, I should say, when I bought said lemony drink today.
Really.
Maybe it was because I wasn't wearing a hat and I was showing off these locks. I got ID'd.
Bullshit.
I actually got ID'd. Off. I have not been ID'd for a drink in like 3 years. The first time in my 40s that I got ID'd.
Congratulations.
I was proud. I was like, oh, really? Boom.
I could shave my beard, shave all my pubes. Don't know why that's going to help. I think I'd still get ID'd.
You still would get ID'd?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm looking elderly.
Or you wouldn't get ID'd?
I would, I think. Yeah. Like, there's no way I'm not.
So if you shaved, they're going to think you're under 18.
No. I wouldn't get ID.
You wouldn't get ID.
I think,
despite your best efforts.
Yeah, I think I could do everything I could do. I could go into like laser everything, Botox everything.
Maybe it's just because I was buying lemonade. He's like, only kids buy this shit.
Yeah, exactly. But it's sort of non-alcoholic.
Yeah, maybe.
Hard lemonade.
Mm.
And it's quite lemony.
I don't mind
it. As far as lemonades go, I'd like on a summer's day. But on a winter's Monday...
It's feeling springish.
It is. We're getting to spring, coming into September.
I saw some nice camellias today.
What I'm loving is my partner works with a lot of people in the UK.
Right.
And she has meetings, and I've heard them a couple of times complaining about the weather.
It's turning.
That's great news for us. When they start complaining that it's getting cold, it's getting warm, baby. The sun is staying in the sky longer. The days are getting longer. Come on, baby.
Good time to be alive.
Yes. Because it's been a cold winter.
It has.
Yeah.
Been rather miserable.
You know what my favorite thing about my car is? The fact it's got, the steering wheel warms up.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, it's nice. Oh, it's so nice. So the seat's warm, hands warm. I'm just in my own little...
In your little zone.
Exactly. When the missus kicks me out, I know exactly where to go. Just
the old company car.
Yeah, it's good. All right, Mark. Should we launch our way into said rugby chat, or would you like to just talk more shit?
I think there are a number of viewers here who are waiting to see your tears.
They are real this year, this
based
week.
On the All Blacks. I know it was the second game, but yeah. I want to lead with that. They lost to Argentina.
Yes.
29-23.
One of the more arrogant things that we as All Black fans say is that the All Blacks never lose. Sometimes they just run out of time. Because eventually we will beat you.
I've never said that.
No, well, you've heard the saying?
Yeah, probably from you.
Yeah. Well, but that game could have been played for...
If they played forever. That game for another 10 minutes, we'd probably lose our bonus point and they might 100%. Look at getting one.
Yeah, exactly. And whether we lose by 15 or 20, 21 points. It was such a limp performance. And it's hard because it's like you're being reactionary and the Argentinians played very, very well. And they were absolutely revved up by a very, very passionate crowd that really got on behind them. And they took their game to another level.
Yep.
But in saying all that, this is maybe the worst All Black backline performance that I've ever seen.
It was shocking. I don't know if you caught my review, but I added up the run meters.
Yeah.
And both of the Pumas wingers individually had more run meters than the entire All Blacks backline combined, including substitutes. Like that is just the both of them did.
It's an abomination.
That's what the fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, obviously, you play as well as the opposition leads you.
Yes.
But the thing we've been hearing from Razor, and Razor's grace period is well and truly over.
Yeah.
He's copping it now.
There's no goodwill for that.
Yeah. It's been clunky since he started. The back line just hasn't felt like it's clicked. And we just keep hearing in press conference after press conferences, we failed to execute. We had lots of opportunities, but we just got to get better at executing.
Yeah.
And he was saying the same fucking execution shit.
Him and Leon McDonald parted ways over this issue.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, they've got different philosophies or whatever, and they can't work it out.
Mm.
I feel like when Leon left, it clicked a little bit. Someone reminded me in the comments the other day that it got bit better.
Did it?
But it's never been.
It's never been
flowing,
that standard.
Free.
It's so fucking clunky. And we could say, oh, it's the first game of the season. It's the fifth game of the season.
Yeah.
Like, they've had so much time in camp now with each other. The combinations should be so much better. Like, Bodhi or D-Mac, whoever's playing first five, is looking like out of ideas. Mm. It was bad timing for Will Jordan to have his worst performance in a couple of years. The midfield just looked absolutely fucking out at sea without a paddle. Nothing coming from the wings, no pace onto anything, nothing done with intent, bad decisions, drop ball, bad passes, just abominable, just all around.
It's tough to watch.
Really tough to watch. And imagine you're a South African, South Africans might be watching, I'd say, and like your pack one day just goes to complete shit. Your forward pack starts playing like absolute dog shit.
They can't see any scrum penalties. They can't win a line out. They can't do anything.
And that's been where you've been dominant for years. And for whatever reason, it just completely falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
That's what our back line has been our entire life. It has been like absolutely lethal.
We could be 5 points down 1 minute ago in our own 22. And you're thinking, we could do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
This could still happen.
100%.
And it did a lot of times.
For so long. We were spoiled for so many years with incredible comebacks, amazing brilliance, incredible handling, great skills, fantastic execution, slick hands, and running with intent with incredible skill. And we have none of that now. There's no intent, there's no skill, there's no execution, there's no cohesion. It is fucking dire. and you think, well, hey, calm down, guys. It's just one loss.
Yeah.
Just the nature of it was just sickening. Absolutely sickening. And
yeah.
It's the worst I've seen.
Someone did point out also in the comments that, hey, Argentina are pretty good value for a big performance every now and again.
Yeah.
They roll teams every now and again. And that's true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that the All Blacks just looked out of ideas. And just look, if we were like getting 10 phases and getting the line breaks and the Argentinians were putting in like, oh, massive try serving tackle. Oh, they won a great turnover at the breakdown. I could kind of live with that a bit more than we just didn't generate much at all.
Yeah. It just felt like whenever we attempted to put the ball in the backs, we were going backwards.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you look at the rugby championship teams right now, if you were going to pick like a combined team, you're not picking the All Blacks wingers. You're not going Reece and Rico. You're going fucking Corey Toole, you know, Carreras from Argentina, maybe Colby or fucking, you know, like the Aussie wingers are looking sharp as fuck.
You're not putting a single, other than Will Jordan, I think Will Jordan probably snaps up the fullback role. If I was picking one, I wouldn't put a single other All Black in there right now. You know, I just wouldn't. Like, Cam Roygaard's not there. Ratimo has been playing well. He's injured now. I thought he put in some pretty valiant effort for the first 20 minutes, whatever he was on. Even Finley Christie actually didn't play.
He copped a lot of shit, but I thought he was alright.
I thought he was actually pretty good when he came on. Got a pretty great little turnover. But yeah, just Proctor and Barrett don't look good together.
There was nothing going on there.
Yeah, absolutely shit. Those two just don't even deserve to fucking sniff the undies of Ma'a Nono and Conrad Smith.
Mm.
Like, just think about like the quality that we've had on the side that this is these guys are meant to be like playing in the shadows of.
Yeah.
Like Conrad Smith, Ma'a Nono, Tana Umanga, Frank Barnes, Walter Little, Smokin' Joe Stanley.
Yeah.
These guys are not that. They are just so far away from the standard.
Yeah.
Oh, raise my voice.
And again, last week we won fairly comfortably.
Yeah.
But the issues were still there. This is not like a one-off thing. Like last week, three of our tries were from the maul.
It gets covered because
The forwards still did the thing, so we were able to win the game.
And we were praising them for being sensible, but we were still like, the back line.
The back line was clunky as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And two clean breaks in the first round, one clean break this week. I looked back at the stats all the way to like 2021 with Fozzie. Never did they do that shit.
Yeah. Who the fuck is the back line coach right now?
I think it's Jason Holland, right? The former Canes coach.
What's his pedigree? Like, what on?
Do they need to have a bit of an overhaul?
Well, it's worked when we got Fozzie. Like, I don't think they're going to get rid of Razor right now, but shit, man. This is just poor. I thought one of the better parts of the game, obviously we got a couple of tries early on.
Yeah.
But then when we went down the massive swing of momentum, we lose two players in pretty quick succession, and then we are just frantically holding on.
Mm.
And on my couch at home, I'm thinking, okay, if we can just get through the first 4 minutes of the second half with no blood.
Yeah, because we had two yellow cards.
We should be able to shit it out.
Jordan with the change of line that we shove, and then Vaii with a – they hardly showed it, but I think it was like a slap or something.
I thought like Jordan's one, I feel like it's unfortunate. I feel like it's a yellow card every day of the week. I don't think he's intentionally doing it. I think it reminded me a lot of the McAllister yellow in the 2007 World Cup when he turns, and part of his turning arc, he bumps the guy.
There was a lot of people saying it was harsh, but I feel like that is an area, both the running lines and also the kick block, the referees are just laser focused on that area of the game at the moment.
I think it is harsh, but I think it's every team.
Yeah, when it happened, I was surprised they didn't blow it up immediately. I was like, oh, he's going to get pinged for that.
Yeah. I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just when you're turning, you have a little...
I feel like you get him a wee shove.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I thought it was more of a Queen Mary circle. And then the Vaii one, from what I saw, like when I watched it live, he was going in for the tackle, and as part of the wrap, he slapped the ball. So I thought that was... Because we didn't get any replays, it looked... from what I saw, it looked pretty rough.
But our D desperation defense did great. Well. And that's great. Like, I mean, we've been talking a shitload about the All Blacks. The Pumas were fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Matera in the forwards was just leading from the front. Huge. Captain Montoya was likewise. He played like 70-plus minutes. He was there. And their backs looked like we want our backs to look.
Yeah, yeah. Fleet of foot,
like, the wingers were both, like, they, if anything, like, my main criticism of them after the game was, you guys should have scored more tries. How the fuck did you only score 2 tries? Multiple times they had clean breaks. They were getting the All Blacks at 6 and 7. There were, like, Scotty Barrett had a massive, like, oh, they've got a big break. He got a tackle. Bodie Barrett, like you said, on Delgi with the kind of behind the back, knocks the ball out. Like, there were a few key defensive players which kept the Argentinian guys out. But they were looking so good. But we were 2 men down, held pretty well. That was actually one of the positives. Like, oh, shit, if we can see out this yellow, double yellow card period, like you say, end of the first half, start of the second, maybe we'll be all right.
Mm.
And we did.
13 all. We thought, okay, scratchy first half. We should be able to right the ship here.
Yeah, my dad sent me a message at halftime. He was like, yeah, we haven't been playing that well, but I still think we'll get them in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought we'll probably be okay. But we just could get zero going on attack.
Yeah.
The Argentinian fans realized they were right in it. Got vocal as all fuck. The Argentinians just kept on upping their performance. Their forwards became more and more physical, more and more dominant in the collision.
Why are we not good at catching high balls as well?
So bad. So bad. The South Africans are going to fucking have a field day in the air.
That's what I would just do that all day long.
All day.
The blueprint is there.
100%. That was one of the key ways that they beat the Wallabies. But like, we are so shit in the air. Our aerial skills were fucking awful.
Yeah.
They were really, really... Will Jordan, fantastic player. He could be better in the air.
Yeah.
He could definitely be better in the air. But we... Man, fucking... I'm really missing Talia and Caleb Clark.
Mm.
You know, like... I thought Caleb Clark is better in the air than people give him credit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Talia is a fucking threat.
Yep.
Rico has got those jet shoes, but he's playing like a center put on the wing. He's always cutting in, not going out.
How much of what the All Blacks issues are at the moment is selection? Because I've noticed that it's the trend throughout Razor's campaign. Everyone laser focuses on particular players. Like, oh, get rid of Christie. You know, things will start to click. Get Rico out of the fucking 13 jumper. Things are going to click. Well, they've tried different combos.
Yeah.
Still not really. Like, a lot of people say, now we need Tava Nawai into the midfield.
This is my combo. Okay, so who we got right now at half from available forward?
Fuck, Finley Christie is available.
Finley Christie and
what's the guy from the Crusaders who's uncapped in the squad?
Oh, did they not even take up Fakatava? Obviously, no, he's not there. Okay, he has to go on the bench. Then I put Bodie at first five. Then I put Geordie at second five. Tama Nawai. Then I put Will Jordan at number 14. Oh, no, hold on. This is it. I put Timor Payal at 12. Tupaya at 12. Tava Nawai at 13.
Do we need to stick Geordie at fucking fullback? Catch some fucking high balls. He's a giant.
Yeah.
Put Will Jordan on the wing because he's looked more dangerous.
And then
hopefully
Geordie at fullback. And then I, at number 11, I just pray for a healing. For Caleb Clark.
Recall Talia. He's still playing. You know? Still available. He's not in Japan yet.
Yeah, yeah. Get Talia in there. He's available, isn't he? He's not injured.
Pretty sure.
He hasn't played for the Harbour the last couple of weeks for some reason. He might be injured.
Mm.
But yeah, something along those lines. Because this ain't it. This ain't it. Our man, which we wanted to get in there as much as we possibly could. Maybe
Ruben Love.
Leroy Jenkins.
Oh, yeah, true. Put him on the wing. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, chuck him in there.
Do something, man.
Well, the next test is massive.
It's at Eden Park. Against the Springboks.
We're just going to go with the same team.
God. Oh, Andre Pollard is going to bombard us with high balls
number
all 13, day long.
What's his name? I'm having an absolute fucking senior moment.
Which guy, Proctor?
Yeah, Proctor. He has not shown us anything.
No. Which is, as I say, bizarre because everyone was like, get rid of Rico, bring in Proctor. He's the answer to all our problems. No, he's not.
I prefer fucking Rico at 13. Rico's got some great highlights. Yeah. Like, still, over the last few years, he scored. You just get him in the right space. He's not a facilitator. He's not. Maybe he's not going to go down as a great All Black, but I don't know. What else we got?
Yeah. Get him to play direct, man.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get him in there. Okay, he's my 13.
Okay.
And then Tava Tava Noe moves to the bench.
Okay, yeah, he can cover multiple positions.
Or put him at 11, maybe, if we can't get an 11.
He can't play on the wing. Fuck. Jesus.
Put Satiti out there, I don't know. it's just a real worry. Like, I've never been so... I don't know, ashamed is not... It's too dramatic a word, but... Like, embarrassed by our back line. Back line is quality. Yeah, sometimes we get out-muscled in games.
Mm.
We look like we don't want it as much as the up and team. Like, we do. We've got a tremendous record. But
this time we were just outclassed.
Woeful.
Well beaten. Woeful. Pumas were so good.
Mm.
Their scrum held up a lot better than last week. We couldn't get that forward dominance. Like, I was a little bit like, oh, man, they picked the same props as last week. They're going to get the same treatment, but they didn't.
I felt like we didn't go to the mall as much as we did last week. We kept on doing these moves off the top.
Yeah.
Which was... I know they weren't putting their guys up as much.
Yeah.
To sort of contest those... Because we had opportunities.
Yeah. Plus, they started Juan Martin Gonzalez this week, who's a better kind of line-out operator as well. So I think they were looking just a bit sharper overall up front. You have Matera playing like he was. They made substitutes at the right time, I think. So...
Well, well-deserved.
Oh, man.
Like, we're not trying to take anything away from their effort, but...
Yeah, it's just... God, really they kicked their penalties. Our discipline was shit.
Yeah,
Reese really. With the fucking...
30 minutes of the game, that's a red card. Red card and a half.
Yeah.
That we're dealing with. That last one, when Sevu just... That,
just stuck the hand out.
God, he's a Muppet.
Yeah, the other day was like... Because I said, I wouldn't have Reese in the team. He's New Zealand's best winger. Okay.
Okay. I think he's really great at Super Rugby level. I just don't think he cuts it at international level. I think that his size and lack of top line pace and physicality exposes him. He's got quick feet. I feel like he could have been potentially, if he chained a different skill set, could have been a nippy and interesting halfback.
He does come in at halfback a fair bit, actually.
Retrain.
Bode didn't kick that well either.
No.
Whereas the Pumas guys, they lost Albanoz early, who's like their talismanic 10.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Santi Carreras, who's a veteran, came off the bench and he steered the ship well. Their back three looks so sharp. Malia, Delgi.
Oh, fuck. I just wanted a beer.
Mateo Carreras. They look so sharp. Their midfield just was classy. Chocobares and Santi. Oh, my goodness. They played some really fun rugby.
Yeah. Yeah, and they absolutely 100% deserved it.
How the fuck we got a losing bonus point, I'm still not 100% sure.
We just stayed in it. I think D-Mac looked all right when he came on.
Yeah. Tokiyaho got another maul try from the bench, but it wasn't enough this week.
And then he got it.
That fucking moment where it was like 5 minutes to go. We've got a line out. And it's like, this is do or die.
It was a hearing issue. Because
this is the Argentinian crowd.
Yeah, because he just didn't hear the call, couldn't hear anything, and then just froze because he didn't know what to do.
The pod jumped, throw the ball.
Yeah.
You could see the guy in the air screaming, throw the ball.
Well, I guess when you're highly trained to be responsive to certain triggers and those triggers aren't there, the neural synapses don't fire and you don't get the same responses. So
if you see the guy jumping, I would just be like, fuck, throw the ball.
But sometimes they have like, part of it is like they sort of dummy jumps and all that sort of thing. You might didn't know whether that would be a dummy one or whatever. I don't know. I feel like this, because I was thinking at the time, like, did we just completely have a brain fart, the whole team? But then the next line out, the Aussie referee, Gardner?
We can't hear.
He was like, you can't hear him. He let him have another crack at it. So, mate, what a shit show. What an absolute shit show.
We got a losing bonus point.
We're the number one team in the rugby championship.
Number one team in the world, apparently.
So bad.
Yep.
Is that an indictment on world rugby that we're the best right now? And everyone's saying, oh, it's fucking, great for the rugby championship, but Just such poor rugby. Like,
not from them. They played really, really nice. They played really well.
I know.
They were very fun to watch. Very fluid.
Yes. My biggest fear is just I don't know where the answer is coming from and how we can get it better. You know how in like the old days it was like, oh, we lost. Ooh, watch out that next team. There's going to be
backlash.
Yeah, there's going to be freaking, you know, Carter and Umanga and freaking Conrad Smith and, you know, Sidivini Sivivatu on the wing. Oh, Sidivini Sivivatu. What did you give it? Yeah, Ben Smith. Oh, these players, man, we just don't have them. We got Will Jordan. He's in that quality, I reckon. But everybody else.
How about that try Gonzalo Garcia scored after Matera went close from the back of that scrum? That was nice.
Very nice. Very nice.
They only scored two tries.
Yeah, we got three, didn't we?
We got three.
Newell
and Tokiyaho. Newell's one was fucking fantastic.
Sad for Cody Taylor not to get a
winner. He's the first, I think, All Black Centurion to not win in his 100th.
Sorry, Cody.
Yeah.
Fletcher Newell and Cody Taylor. Cody Taylor's a great player. And if he was playing in Kevin Mielamu and Andrew Hoare's era, do you think he gets less caps or he's right in there with those guys?
I still think he's right in there.
Dane Coles is the bridging player between those eras, really. Because he pushed Dane Coles out for a bit, didn't he? And Dane Coles and Kevin Mielamu were kind of
the guys for a while.
Yeah.
Darren Whitcomb was there for a cap or two. He used to live on my street.
Oh, Whitcomb.
Get on here, Darren. Played one or two caps for the ABs.
There aren't many podcasts out there that talk about Darren Whitcomb, but you get it here on
2 Cents Gets Distracted Rugby Broadcast.
It's a Whitcomb podcast. Absolutely.
So that was the game.
Yes.
Man, sorry we talked about the All Blacks for such a long time and less about Argentina, but we're
All Black fans.
We're not used to that.
I don't mind losing. I just
I want to play a bit better.
Yeah. When I lose, I want to play better. It's very much about style points for us, isn't it? We lost looking awful.
The backline was just so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that at all.
Like when we lost the World Cup final, that hurt a lot. But I wasn't ashamed of the team in any way. I thought they played really, really well.
Played their hearts out.
Yeah.
If Geordie kicks that kick, who knows?
Geordie kicks that kick and also...
Why didn't they fucking let Geordie start kicking the kicks in the second half? Both of them kicking like shit.
Yeah, and we missed, and Moanga missed a kick in that. He missed his conversion as well. We left 10 points out there in that World Cup final just to bring up fun memories. And kicking was a continued theme over the weekend though, wasn't it?
The South Africans put some boot to ball.
They did. Andre Pollard, the rugby cheat code, gives you a bonus 10 points when you put him in your team.
15.
Ouch.
He was 100% from the tee.
Yep. And they won.
Which is not something you could say for Bodie or for James O'Connor this week.
O'Connor left,
I think, 8 points out there at least, which is the difference.
Yeah. And the one that really stings, is the one where you're going, oh, yes, they've got the more try to the little pick and go. Was it, wasn't telling you, Tupou scored? Who was the player who scored that one in close?
Pangamosa's one, the mall try.
Yeah, about 10 metres out from the goalposts, little acute angle.
Should have kicked that conversion.
Could throw it over. Very easy kick for international standards to put the Wallabies in the lead with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
To get two wins in a row in South Africa, which would have been fucking huge.
That was a miss.
And he shits the bed. They drop the ball. They go down 8 points.
Yeah. That's like swings in momentum.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was bad. And then he misses two more penalties to get them back into it from that point.
Yeah, at least get them back within a score.
Yeah.
That was a good game in terms of it. It was close pretty much the entire game.
Like
the
Wallabies, James O'Connor played really, really well apart from
the
kick.
Yeah, he set up another one of the tries. They only led for 2 minutes, but both sides had leads in this game. It was, you know, a couple of penalties to the box earlier. They were like taking this, like, let's just fucking play South African.
Yeah.
Slightly more kind of old school rugby. 6 points lead. Then the Nick White little dink through for Corey Tall, the gas man.
That was a great try.
That was nice.
Yeah. Just Nick White getting injured was a bit of a
that's the punishing thing. Like, it's brutal for the Wallabies. Nick White lasted like 13 minutes. Tom Wright lasted three.
And both players very influential last week.
Yeah.
You know.
And then they lost Sueli at halftime. Yeah. So they had to play Tane Ebed like in the midfield, which is not really. He's like the fifth choice 10 and you're playing him in the midfield. That's not ideal. So to still get within 8 points.
Terrific.
Is actually a like that's one like we wish as All Blacks fans that our loss could have had like even though they didn't get a losing bonus point, like there's positives there.
Yeah, absolutely. They look like the best attacking side in the competition for my money right now, in terms of ball in hand, threatening talent out there. Tom Wright looked like he's done himself a corker.
Done an ACL.
Oh no, yeah, he's in career high form. Right? Yep. That really sucks.
That's brutal.
That sucks so much.
Yeah.
What's Soalii done to himself?
I think his was just an HIA. Oh. Just an HIA. I don't mean to belittle it, but yeah.
Mm. It's just a bit of brain damage. And then Nick White had slammed into the ground overly hard. It's another
bit
HIA.
Of a bit of the old judo. I think it was. Anyway. But yeah. Real tit for tat game, man. 6-0. Wallabies score, makes it 7-6, and then the box hits straight back. Andre Pollard, cross kick to your man, Kanan Moody.
Mm-hmm.
Kanan Moody scored that try.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't catch the ball for the rest of the game, apparently.
Yeah, he's a bit of rocks and diamonds, eh?
Yeah.
He's got all the tools to be a phenom. But I don't know. I feel like he's a little bit, I don't know if I'm being harsh on the guy. It feels like he's a little bit slower, but just in terms of the overall game, we're all suspecting the much vaunted bocklash.
Yeah.
Don't think we got it. I don't think that was a bocklash. No one was lashed.
It's funny. In the preview, I read a lot of comments and a lot of people are like, oh, Australia's definitely got this one. This South African side is too old. They're going too heavy on the big old forwards, and the Wallabies are going to play quick rugby. They're going to run them off their feet. Like there's a little bit of that kind of like last week syndrome where it's like, well, they lost last week, so they're going to lose this week. But I thought maybe there'll be a bocklash.
Yeah.
The box will grind them.
Yeah.
And they gave it a good crack. I mean, Quokka Smith got a try from close range. That one was a bit of the forwards grinding, and I thought the South African props like Ox and Thomas Tutoi would getting some big physical carries and whatnot, but the Wallabies were never really out of that game.
No, they were in it to their nuts. It was a sensational game, and it's put the set up the overall tournament in a really interesting spot.
None of these teams, like the All Blacks back line, looks like shit. The Argentinians are fucking inconsistent.
Yeah,
they could topple you. They could play like dog shit. Who the fuck knows? The Wallabies have got a fucking injury crisis with many of the guys, but still look fucking dangerous.
And look like they've got a real heart and team spirit to them.
Yeah, and the box don't quite look like
they're
invincible selves. Like they have been. Like
they've lost their edge.
They
I was watching it going, we can take this team at Eden Park. And then I watched us play it going, oh,
maybe we can't. Yeah, so it sets it up, like you say, pretty nicely. You feel like it was errors both ways in that game. Like the Jorgensen try for the Aussies at the start of the second half was just that kick through from O'Connor, finding the space.
Yeah.
Moody kind of fluffs his lines a wee bit. The bounce of the rugby ball can be a bit of a brutal thing, but they punished them on that one.
He's so good at being in the right.
That's right.
And he's the winger of the tournament so far, for my money.
He's having a good year. And Painga Moses try from the Maul, like the box conceded a couple of Maul tries in July as well.
Yeah.
So they're showing
they conceded a Maul try against Italy from 22.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a chink in the armor there seemingly. Fuck it. Like you say, if Jock kicks that kick, the pressure goes on, but it stays slightly off.
And
from
I was
then.
Just thinking, I had already counted it. I think I went to take a slash.
I think I wrote my note that like if they go in front and then I was like, oh.
No, he missed it. And then I rewound it.
Oh, he fluffed it.
How the fuck did he miss that? He just pulled it.
Yeah.
That's like missing a 3-foot putt, really. Well,
it happens in international sports. It
happens in international golf.
And then Callaway with that fucking knock on.
Yeah.
Right in his own 22. The slightly dipping pass. And then the box worst. Just punish. Eben gets a try. Pollard gets a conversion.
And the box, to their credit, were good enough to make them pay when they had the opportunity there.
Yeah, exactly. So the box still showed a bit of fortitude to, despite being under a bit of pressure from an Aussie comeback, to still see out the game, kind of like what we had done the week before.
But with all the pressure of the entirety of South Africa expecting a massive win, they still looked very beatable.
Yeah, Rusty gave them a 7 out of 10 in his press conference, which is... I think he was going to say 6, but then he went 7.
I think I'd give that. I said it's 6.
6.5.
6.25. Yeah. It's a pass.
There's still big old work-ons for 100%. All the teams, but our backline problems, 2 weeks running in this comp.
So bad. And like anyone... It's exciting for the championship. It's rugby's greatest championship after all. That all teams can beat each other.
Yeah,
all teams can beat each other.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised if Argentina loses their one in South Africa and wins their one in Argentina.
Well, they're playing at Twickenham.
Oh,
home game is at Twickenham for the Argentinians. No, so that
sucks.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an away game, kind of. Sucks, I feel nuts. Like there's going to be...
Qatar Airlines got their fucking nuts all over
it. There's going to be more expats South Africa fans there.
They're playing for the Qatar Airlines Cup every time.
If they are, you know it's going to be a South African win.
It's a random game.
They love that cup.
Da-da-da! Oh, jeez. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's advantage South Africa.
One good thing from an Aussie point of view is if you look at the same point last year, they had 2 home games against the Box and got fucking hammered.
The
turnaround has been quite incredible. The Wallabies
have come on in leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And one of my fears for
them... They're tracking in the right direction, whereas the Box, you feel like, have slipped a bit from their previous state. The All Blacks are not looking sharp. And the Argentinians are consistently inconsistent. So the Aussies of the 4 teams are kind of the biggest winners so far.
Yeah, I'd say so.
In terms of progress.
They've got the best trajectory.
Yeah, for sure.
My fear for the Wallabies, though, obviously the injuries are a concern, but just into sort of the broader future, is Schmidt's not there forever.
No.
Are we losing him after the Rugby Championship, or is he just
He stayed on a bit longer until
November?
Longer still, because Les Kiss needs to finish with the Reds next year, Super Rugby.
So is he going to be like the coach, non-coach, basically?
Yeah, there's no games, but he's still the coach kind of thing.
So he gets...
Like for the start of next year. They need a handover period.
I would really... Well, look, I don't... The Wallabies are now a threat. I think we still beat... Well, do we beat them this year? I don't know. If we play like that, we're gonna go out...
Who's the bigger threat for Eden Park at the moment? Is it the Box or is it the Wallabies? The Wallabies without Tom Wright.
The Wallabies without Tom Wright. And... Yeah, that's rough. Jorgensen's still there.
Yeah. Do we need to get Joe Schmidt back in the All Blacks once he's finished with the Aussies? Work your magic, Joe. Razor needs a hand.
Get him to coach the backs.
Yeah.
Fuck. Jeez Louise. Oh, God. Who's the bigger threat? The Springboks have made the most noise about it.
This is the most precarious the Eden Park record has looked in the last how many years, though, right?
30.
We could lose both of them.
We could lose both of them.
We could win both of them. Maybe we're being pessimistic. They'll get it to click in the next 2 weeks.
No, I think it's the no offense to the Australians, I still think it's the Bok game. Yeah. I think the...
Because Rusty's been planning ahead, so...
When was the last time the Aussies actually beat us?
It's been a wee while now.
Yeah. The Argentinians beat us. Argentinians. Why do I say that? Argentinians?
They beat us with regularity.
They beat us half the time now. But the Aussies haven't been able to stripe up a victory for ages. I think, it's the Springboks.
What do the Box do for the Eden Park game? Do they just go
pull? I think if they had come in with 2 confident victories...
Yeah.
They would be willing to go in and try a bunch of sneaky, rusty, random shit.
But you think they're going to keep it tight?
I think they're going to try and pray for rain and keep it tight. Put it in the air all night.
Why wouldn't you?
Expose our weaknesses. We need to get Sivu and Rico off the wing. God. I think they're a threat. Just that style of play, we've shown that we can't deal with it. And if their forwards get up ahead full of steam. But we just have to hope that...
maybe Cam Roygaard's back fit.
Yeah, the Roygaard's back fit. And that Eden Park voodoo just... keeps works on going. Works
magic, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We sold the Inter Park soul to the devil in 1994 after we lost to
France.
And hopefully that deal keeps on going. So, yeah. Are we the favourites? I honestly think that game is a pick 'em. It's 50-50. Yeah. I was feeling pretty good about it watching the Wallabies going, shit, these Boks are just, they're really looking like they've lost an edge.
Mm.
But we've lost a fucking
back line.
Yeah, we've lost our greatest threat. We just need to, are we going to rely on our forward pack to overpower their forward pack?
Can we rely on the forward pack to get us out of jail against the Springbok forward pack? Maybe not.
Nah, I don't know. We need to rediscover something. The back line just needs to. We never talk about the back line when we lose. Very rarely we just go, the back line didn't get any go forward. From the forward
pack. No ball.
They got no ball. They couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
That was a hard night to be a halfback or a 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Those guys.
Hard when your forward pack's not doing it for you.
Yeah, but nah. So, like, I don't. I actually caught a little bit of. What's his name? Tim. From the Egg Chasers. You know, so I think the All Black fans are being a little bit reactive, saying that, you know, how bad their performance was, but you really got to give credit to the Argentinians, how well they played. And it's true, Argentina played really, really well.
Mm.
But it's just from those of us who are intimate with the history of our team and how we play, there were just so many alarm bells that spelled doom.
And it's not just one week is the thing.
No, this execution thing that we've been talking about for so long.
For quite some time.
We failed to execute. We just need to execute better. Yeah, we need to look at that and go back to the drawing board, really do a deep review and make sure we execute well next week. We've really focused this week on execution. And still, we have seen zero execution. Mm. Zero results. Oh, God, Razor. What are you doing to us? What is he doing to us?
He was supposed to be the guy.
He was meant to be our guy.
17 titles in a row with the Bloody Crusaders.
Mm.
The Test match rugby is a different beast.
Sure is a different beast. And the Bloody Crusaders sold their soul to somebody to get all those bloody titles.
Apparently.
8 of the last 9 years, motherfuckers.
That's the Rugby Championship round 2. The competition is all open. We apologise for being negative. The Argentinians were indeed very, very good.
And we feel negative. Ladies' night. What's happening in the Women's World Cup?
I think the average score difference this first week was around about 47 points.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a lot of mismatches. I think the men's from the last World Cup in the opening round was 20 plus. Like, it was still pretty. It was still. There's a lot of big scores. Like, yeah, there's a lot of tier two teams that get hidings.
Yeah.
England 67-7 over the
US. You don't see that in football.
No. Australia 73-0 over Samoa.
Oh, bad work, Samoa.
Scotland 38-8 over Wales was one of the close games.
Oh, God.
Canada beat Fiji 65-7. The fullback for Canada scored 6 tries. 6.
It's like Mark Ellis versus Japan in 95.
But the Fijians scored 1 and it was a fucking worldie. So that was was quite cool. France beat Italy 24-0, which was again one of the close games. Ireland beat Japan 42-14. South Africa beat Brazil 66-6. And honestly, you need to check out the South African number 8. She's a big fucking unit and she scored a hat trick. She's amazing.
Yeah?
I don't think I'd ever... If I'd seen her play before, I didn't know her name. I still don't know her name. It's written down here.
And we're going to go back
Cesar
to this
Healy.
We're going to go back to this debate that we had last World Cup, whether it's appropriate to call a woman a big unit.
She's a fucking unit in the best sense of the word. She's amazing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she scored a hat trick. She's just a bulldozer, and she's got a support line try as well for a halfback kicking into space. And then, it was great.
Did it look better than they did last World Cup, South Africa?
Well, they played Brazil, who were like the worst side, and beat them by 60 points. So it's hard to say. And then the Black Ferns beat Spain 54-8.
Tight one.
Yeah.
We
had tries to our wingers, a mall, scrum tries.
I heard that we lost
one of our Lucys, yeah.
Promising.
Kaipo Olsen Baker got injured. She's one of the Lucys, but yeah, she was some cool highlights, but no close games.
Yeah.
Some are like the opener with England in the Stadium of Light in Sunderland had like 40,000+ fans.
Nice.
A lot of the smaller stadiums, bit more sparsely.
Are they having like 2 or 3 games in a session?
Yeah, a couple of games. in each session, same as what they did over here in New Zealand.
Right. So we just got to basically, and there's going to be another round of hidings, three more rounds of hidings.
I think it's basically the pool stage is all going to be hidings, and then realistically, England are far and away the favourites. Then there's Canada, New Zealand, and France, who are kind of like the next level. And
so then those games
below them, there's like Ireland, Australia. You know,
so quarterfinals could still be relatively straight sets. Could
probably. And then semifinals should be spicy.
And one semifinal should be spicy. England should pump the other one.
I mentioned it. I just did a video today about the women. I really hate the English women's team.
Why?
I don't know why. I think it's just because they are so good. They are so professional.
Why do you hate them? Shouldn't you be like happy about that? I just
don't like them.
Like the way I don't like the Australian cricket team.
Yeah, maybe. I just, it's really irrational, and it's definitely a me problem. Like, I was watching the game. Like, I got up on Saturday. I was watching it on my phone in bed. Right, second half. They are beating the US, like fucking slaughtering them.
But they're high-fiving, over-celebrating.
And then they scored a try, like length of the field. It was a fucking magic try. Yeah. And they're celebrating like they won the World Cup. And my gut was like, grumpy old man. I was like, why the fuck are you celebrating like this? Pull your fucking heads in.
And
then the other guy on my shoulder was like, they just scored a fucking worldie. That was amazing. What do you want them to do, Mark? Do you want them to just like, oh, that was fun? Like, no, of course they're going to celebrate. You
want to be staunch and shit.
Yeah, I was like, don't be a dick, Mark. Why do you not like them?
Don't be a dick, Mark.
But I was like, I don't like them. It's like I said in the video, it's kind of like, you know, like in Star Wars, it's like the Empire.
Yeah.
Like they're the baddies. They wear white. They've got all the resources. I want the rebels. Go the rebels.
Yeah, go anyone but them.
They play some, honestly, like both their props scored tries. Like Ali Kildan scored a couple of tries. They played some really good rugby.
To be fair, I know they're playing a team they're much better than.
Yeah.
But they're playing in a home World Cup.
Yeah.
The biggest women's World Cup than there's ever been.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest occasions of their life. They may as well fucking enjoy it.
I know. Yeah, my dislike for them is 100% irrational. This is a me problem.
It's a little bit of gasomania in that.
Maybe.
But yeah, because your old man's like, wow.
Yeah. Loves himself. I can feel myself doing it and like check myself doing it, but I'm still doing it.
You want Gary Wetton scoring the try and just getting a couple of nods from the
Just pat on the back and just get back to halfway.
Because the All Blacks in the late 80s and 90s, that's how they scored tries. They scored an incredible try.
Yeah.
And like it was almost seen as a bit like, a bit too much.
But again, that's also one of the things that's quite cool about the women's game is they don't take themselves like as kind of...
They come out, they smile.
They smile, they're really enjoying smiling. It. And it's a great thing about the women's game.
Yeah.
But here's me just like, stop it.
Try and get that out of you.
I should. I know. I can... The good thing is I know I'm doing it. That's the thing, I know I'm doing it. I have self-awareness to know I'm doing it.
So next week I want you to tell me five things you like about the English women's team. Yeah, okay. Five things.
They're really good, honestly, but I don't like them.
Other than they're really good, I want you to be like, actually, so-and-so from so-and-so is actually really, really a magnetic personality and speaks really eloquently on the microphone.
Okay.
I also like the folk that they... have succinct interplay better than the All Blacks, like stuff like that.
Yeah, the Black Ferns did look a bit clunky,
did they?
Yeah,
we're not there,
not quite. No, but it's game one, so you know, one thing I also don't like about the women's game,
what's that?
Is looking at the Facebook comments on there, it's awful.
Oh, people are
like, there'll be like a picture of like, I know Facebook's terrible, but like Alona Ma. Yeah. Like, she's like the most popular rugby player in the world.
Yeah.
And then all these comments like, oh, she looks like a man.
I don't think I've gone into a Facebook comment section for a long time.
There's just so, it's not just about her, but she draws a lot of attention.
I look at the comments on this and I just go, oh.
Comments on this are always very tame and very bantery compared to that shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's so like bad. And it's not just men. It's mostly men, but there's some women as well. Like, why is she wearing lipstick?
The ones I like is when it's on, when, like this episode is on my channel.
Yeah.
But then there are people who comment on this thinking it's your channel going, Mark, you need to not let that guy back on your channel. And I'm like, it's my fucking channel, bitch face. You know, like, I get a little bit, I cop a little bit, but it's okay. Bring it, mother truckers. I just say inflammatory things about the rugby's greatest championship.
There you go. Thanks, Sports Forecast.
We love you, Sports Forecast. And so what do we got next week? Is it bye week, isn't there?
For the Rugby Championship, it is bye week.
Should we? What should we do then next week?
Small Women's World Cup.
Yes.
Oh, we didn't even mention the Pacific Nations Cup.
We haven't gone. We haven't done Baywatch.
Yes, that's true. There were two upsets in the Pacific Nations Cup. Canada beat the US.
Oh, yeah.
That was unexpected. Canada have been dog shit for... I haven't seen them win for fucking years.
Wow. What was the score?
I forget. I did a video about it, but they won easily.
Really?
Yeah.
So the US and their Major League Rugby ain't...
They ain't doing shit. They got well beaten. Tyler Ardron. He used to play for the Chiefs years ago.
Yeah.
He hasn't played for Canada since like 2021 because their old coach, Kingsley Jones, was stealing a salary. Somehow the Canadian Rugby Union kept appointing this guy as coach, even though...
Is he gone now?
He's gone.
Oh, wow.
And they've actually started like playing well. He's again, Tyler Ardron was back. He scored a fucking hat trick.
Oh, nice. So Kingsley Jones is the son of...
Yeah, of Lomu's agent.
Yeah. That other Kingsley Jones.
Yeah. But Canada played good rugby. And then Tonga beat Samoa in Tonga. Easily.
Was it a hot crowd?
No, it's a good crowd.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
But were they like hot? Like it's pretty warm over there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's warmish. Okay.
So yeah, two upsets. Neither of those teams are supposed to win. And I think in terms of the World Cup qualification, that's going to make it very difficult for Samoa and the US to qualify now. That puts a big advantage to Canada.
Samoa's not going to qualify for the World Cup.
They're going to probably have to go through a longer route, I think, like to the repechage. Yeah.
Oh, okay, hold on.
What are you looking up?
Wait a sec.
Okay, I'm just going to watch you use your phone.
Wait a sec, ready?
Okay. Baywatch.
Yeah.
NPC time.
Yes.
Your team's doing shit. Thank you to Jimmy for these Hawke's Bay beers.
Yeah.
This is what brings you Baywatch.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Your team playing Tasman.
We got pumped. Oh, it's 31-0 or something.
43-19.
We had a Tane Edmed last year. He played really well. We did all right last
year. He's off with the Wallabies.
He's playing with the Wallabies. Yeah, we're getting smoked.
See, your team embarrassingly lost 43-19. My team lost 43-24. So we both conceded 43 points. Northland.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, my God. This is not good for the Blues.
No.
Jeez Louise.
At Eden Park as well.
Ah. Oh.
It's terrible. Oh, and really our, and bad. Our man Jimmy's team, the Bay, lost to Canterbury 26-7.
No, the Hawke's Bay. Thank you.
Okay. The Bay of Plenty also lost. So both the Bays went down.
So it was a dog shit weekend of rugby in the NPC.
Basically.
Yeah, fuck. That sucks. I don't watch any of
this week. But Waikato took the Ranfurly Shield off Taranaki. That's a bit of good news.
Am I clapping too long?
Yeah. Oh. Just a little bit too long.
What's the appropriate length of a clap?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Do you remember when Stalin was clapping that time? Stalin was giving a speech once and he came out. He came out onto the stage or he was starting to speak and then he paused and everyone applauded and nobody wanted to be the first to like stop applauding because they were like, fuck, Stalin's goons are going to kill me for being the first guy to stop clapping. So he had a really uncomfortably long... I think he had to tell them, like, okay, shut the fuck up.
Oh, so quite scary. I actually saw this thing recently of a young Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
When he took power, there was one guy who came out publicly in, like, the Iraqi Defense Force and publicly opposed him. And then they, Saddam's goons... took his wife and his kids and said, we'll kill them if you don't go up on stage at this public assembly meeting with the entire party there and say that you are heading up a coup to overthrow me and kill some other Iraqis. And then he says, so the guy gets up there, he's like sweating bricks and he has to say this in front of this assembly. And then he says, now we're going to name all my culprits. So then Saddam just says, when I read your name, you're going to have to stand up, recite the party's line, or the party's motto, and then leave the building. So then he stands up, and there's like freaking 400 people there. He stands up
and he goes, Leroy!
But he stays. It's incredible footage. He stays there, naming 88 people.
Wow!
And they're everyone's just sitting there, like freaking out.
Don't name me. Don't name me. Don't name me.
And then one guy just stands up and goes, "I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything." Oh. Like freaks out, and he says, "Leave the building." And then he kills all. Like they all go like the through this like very public, humiliating trials and stuff where there's like evidence withholding. It's all bullshit. Mm. And then he kills them all publicly. And it was one of the first things he did just to like say,
I'm the guy.
I'm a motherfucking badass and I am ruthless as fuck.
Yeah. Politics.
Yeah. Well, that's not politics. That's just scary. It's scary shit. And you see
dictatorial
them.
Dictatorial politics.
But you say, and you see it. One of the most incredible moments is when he says, and he's like, okay, that's everybody. And you just see all these men who are just sweating bullets. They just start standing and applauding like crazy. And then some of them are just start burst crying into tears and stuff. Oh my God, like
this close
like,
to death.
And they're just like hyperventilating and stuff. It's just, yeah.
It's good crazy to be a nobody.
Yeah, it's good to not get noticed in those situations. I definitely would have got named on the list. That loud mouth. Tony O'Sullivan, you're out. God damn it. One too many dick jokes for Saddam.
That's
right. Yeah. And nobody, we weren't expecting a little bit of Iraqi. Is a great YouTube channel who does videos about that, about some of the darkest, meanest characters in history. Is it called Turtle History or something like that?
I don't know.
If you haven't checked it out, you should. It's fucking really good.
There you go.
Really good. It's probably not called Turtle History.
Tony just likes turtles.
Hold on. Shit, can I?
No.
What's this good? Someone might go check it out and it might be good.
We're at an hour and 10. I've got to wrap it up.
Okay, let me just. Turtle song. Turtle history.
It's 2 cents gets distracted.
This is going to be a history
about. It's a rugby podcast.
Now I'm going to look at, find it. Now, the one time it takes a long time to load.
Yep. Well, you're on camera.
Damn it.
Maybe next week. They'll sponsor us.
Turtle the evolution history of turtles? This is what we were always going
to. It's not called Turtle History.
Damn it! I'm sorry. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
And if you're a real OG,
I like a bit of history.
If you're a real true believer, you'll put a thing to it.
Well, it's your channel this week, so you can do it yourself.
No.
More work for you.
Damn it! Okay, I'll have to find it.
There you go.
All right, fantastic.
Well, we'll be back
I just
next week.
My nose, and now I'm going to
Pacific Nations Cup next week.
And maybe some questions or something?
Women's World Cup next week. MPC next week. So there's still plenty of rugby on.
And then we'll do a preview of the Eden Park Test game. Match.
Yes.
And the Wallabies and the Argentinians that will be coming up as well. Mm. And we'll just have a bit of a chat about all things rugby.
Have a chit-chat.
Fantastic. Well done.
Take care, pal. And take care to you folks. Thank you for being here.
You there, Steve. You take care, pal.
Cheers, Steve.
Adida. Bye-bye.